children. You may be dismissed tonight. All the little ones, all the children's choir. Thank you so much for all those that help take care of the little ones. How many is in that church in Carahoo? Okay. Been to some the churches that Brother Dan's been a part of, Papua New Guinea, and the Carahoo Church is 500. Another one's about, okay, another one runs about 1,000. And these are people that, you know, unless you send a missionary, they'll never know the Lord. And when they get a hold of it, boy, they're excited. And they've gotten a hold of it. And we're going to find a little bit more about it. I'll try to give Dan a little bit of time at the prayer breakfast just for a moment to explain a little bit about the Bible Project for Papua New Guinea. We've already given some money toward it. I believe $10,000-$15,000 bucks, but they're trying to raise $1 million to send 360,000 Bibles on the way now. And the missionary, the national pastor said, "We'll take them." And if you knew where they were taking them and how they were getting them there, we were in one village that it was an 8-day walk, 1-hour flight, but an 8-day walk to civilization. And they're going to take those Bibles themselves. So we'll hear a bit more about it, but then you come.
Amen. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's get in our Bibles tonight. Let's go to two portions of Scripture. Good singing. And I'm going to move this over here. Can I do this without hurting it? Okay. Amen. Preacher, thank you for feeding us today. I want the people to see my new shoes. 3 inches taller than I was last night. So I appreciate that. Scott, where's he at? Thank you. He's colorblind, but he's fashionable. I'm old. I'm not very good at it. But honestly, he picked me out 2 nice pair of shoes. And kids, do I look like a millennial? Not. But anyway, let's continue on this. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, get there please. And then we go to 1 Kings chapter 17. So kind of get your Bible like this if you can do that, two places at once. And keep in mind, Brother James, where are you? You're a big man. Hey, isn't God something doing this one person? And you're saying about New Guinea? I wrote down our 8 churches. We started with one. And not counting that one, Runway Baptist, Bible Baptist, Shalom, Baptist, Solid Rock, Grace, Heritage, Gethsemane, at Grace Heritage, you guys built the buildings at Lighthouse, not counting Matt Allen's church, not counting his attendance, but had almost 3,800 in those 8 churches Sunday. And it all started with one missionary in 1972 whose wife died, and I went back in there when the church was dead. These nationalist pastors are taking this thing at a different level, amen? And they're just getting started. And so we'll talk more about this PNG Bible Project. But I'm telling you what he showed me last night, Brother Burke, what you showed me, and I know Brother Schrock since he was about like that. But I'm telling you, God blesses missions around this world. So tonight, what will you do with Macedonian giving? So I'm going to quickly give you an hour sermon in about 25, 6, 7 minutes, all right? And so you know what to do, right? So don't cut me off early. All right, so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, we're going to go there first, then we'll fly back to 1 Kings. I want you to see this with me. I want you to see the preciousness. I want you to see the pattern. I want you to see the purpose and the power of Macedonian giving in these first 5 verses. The Bible says this, "Moreover, brethren," that's us sitting in here tonight, "we do to you to wit or to know of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. For to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves," that means they were willing to sacrifice, "praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." Amen? Now this is what's so good about this. Notice what Paul adds to this. Holy Spirit adds, "and unto us by the will of God." Look at the preciousness of this example in verse 2. Great affliction and deep poverty. All right? They had it in a bad way. But you know what? They had it going on in a good way, all right? This is the preciousness about this. Look at the pattern of their example. Verse 3. They gave her their power. And they had enough heart and trust and love for Christ that they gave beyond their power. They watch this. I got to say this. I think I say it here all the time. God will never ask you to give anything to him unless you already have it. You won't find it anywhere in Scripture. All right? Sorry about the Pentecostal churches. Say you buy a hanky, wave in the air, and pay for it. Something will happen. That's how God is. Even tonight's message I'm going to give you, this lady had something. Not much, but little as much if God is in it. And I want you to understand the preciousness and the pattern here. And they gave beyond what they are capable of doing because of their love for God. Number three, the purpose of their example. Look what it says in verse 4. If you read that, it's plainly saying to support the missions work of Paul, what God's called Paul to do. And I want you to see verse 5 here, the power of their example. This they did. Folks, they just did it. It's not rocket science. These missionaries doing out and serving God around the world, they just go do it, all right? And they have feelings just like, and they're normal people just like you. But let me encourage you tonight, if God gets a hold of your heart this week to go to the mission field and it scares you to death, do not worry about that. God's in charge of it, amen? And God has these people here as example in church planning. They first did, not as we hoped. Man, we hope they give to this. We hope they grow in this. But they first gave their own selves to the Lord. Hey, if you love the Lord, you'll give. Amen. If you give yourself to him, he'll make it work. And this, I'm going to put the, what I call, boy, that was a great piece of pie today I had, preacher. That was something else. About half the size of Brandon's, but it was good. But when that lady put that gigantic blob of the thickest, cream I've ever had on a piece of lemon pie, ho, 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 ho. Now watch this. Verse 5, cream on the top. And unto us by the will of God. It is God's will for you to participate in Macedonian giving. Verse 1, I want you to wit, I want you to know, this is how it works. This is how God gets his ministry started. Now, we're going to give you an example tonight very quickly in the Old Testament where it says it was written beforehand for our encouragement and our knowledge and our understanding. So let's slide back to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to find a person that don't have much going on in life. We're going to find a person that's lost everything. All she has left is a little bit of oil and a couple handfuls of flour and a little boy about ready to die. And Elijah had announced to Rahab and Jezebel that the judgment was coming and there was a famine on the land. You see in verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite in chapter 17, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, whom before I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to them, saying, get thee hence, and turn thy eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee right there. Boy, I could preach on that for an hour. These missionaries, you know, they have to come to independent Bible-believing Baptist churches like this one. God wants to start these churches all over the world. And God tells them where to go. And they have to trust just like Elijah and go there. And can I point it out? He was drinking water out of the creek, as they say down south. And the birds, as we say in Alaska when I preach up there, the ravens, they're big. How many's ever seen them big ravens? They call them dumpster ducks up in Alaska. They dive down in the dumpsters, and I've seen them bring out whole bags of McDonald's people threw away, and they put it on the ground, and they hit that frozen ground with it, and they'll do it at midnight. Them birds are dangerous, okay? But God is feeding Elijah at this brook. No other brook would he feed him at. No other brook would the water be running but where God put him at. Watch the thought here in verse 4. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the brook, the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while the brook dried up. There had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, does anybody in here know who the king of Zarephath was? Whose daddy he was? Jezebel's daddy, thank you. Does God have a sense of humor or what? You go right into Jezebel's daddy's town, They're hunting for you all over this place. And you go right there, and I don't have a McDonald's. I don't have a KFC. I don't have a millionaire. I've got a widow woman there, and she's going to take care of you. So Elijah got up, left the ravens, the dry dust of that creek of Cherith, and he went right on in to Zarephath, and he's standing there. Get the picture. And she walks out and got a couple sticks in her hand, and a little boy's following her around. And look what happens here in verse 10. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called for her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." As she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a little morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruisin. Behold, I've gathered two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that they may eat it and that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, watch this promise, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after for thee and for thy son, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went. Now watch this. And she did according to the saying of Elijah. Now watch this carefully. And she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Can I say first of all tonight, when we consider Macedonian giving, I got 4 points. They'll go fast. Number one, let's consider her plight. Back in 2 Corinthians, deep poverty. Is that true? Look at her poverty here in verse 1. The Bible says he's going into out of Israel into Zarephath. When he gets to Zarephath, you'll see there in verse 9, you'll see her plight. It makes this statement that I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 12 says this, that as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake or a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may. This is it. I'm going to fix this thing up, and I'm going to put it on that hot plate, and I'm going to cut it up between me and my son, and we're going to eat that thing, and we're going to die. And I can get you some water, but I'm going to stutter on the cake a little bit. That's how some of us, we give to our power. But when God asks us to go beyond that a little bit, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? She didn't have anything going on. She was in a bad plight. Secondly, can I point this out about this lady? Let's look at her preparation. Look what the Bible says in verse 9 here. It says this, that rise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there. I'm telling you what, God's in charge of this. Is that true? Now, I want to show you something. God could not find a widow in all of Israel to take care of his preacher or his missionary. The mission was this: Elijah, I want you to get you up to Mount Carmel. They're halted between two opinions. You're going to take on the prophets of Baal, and you're going to pray, and you're going to win the day, and the fire is going to come down out of heaven. It ain't going to rain till they make the decision. Who are we going to follow, Baal or God? And so that woman's going to take care of you, all right? We'll take care of you right there, all right? And she's a widow, and she'll get you some water. She don't have anything going on. She's getting ready to die. But Elijah, you trust me, that's the only person that I have prepared to take care of you. Now, I want you to understand, as a church, over this last 20, 25, 27 years, the ministry that you have, God has prepared you to grow and to grow and to grow. And God has opened the doors around this world. I mean, God is moving in these last days. I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged. Amen. I wish I was 21 years old again. But I want you to understand this. God has prepared her, and Jesus knew it. Can I show it to you? Go to Luke chapter 4 with me for just a moment. You keep your hand in 1 Kings there. I want you to see Luke chapter 4 with me for just a moment. And you know, the Lord says, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Right there. The widow woman was there gathering sticks. The widow woman had enough flour to make a pancake. She had enough wood to cook at one time. She had enough oil to mix in it and put it on the hot plate where it would not stick. And she's going to eat that the last meal and die. die. Look what it said in verse 24, Jesus speaking. He said, verily, verily, in Luke 4, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, that's Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath or Zarephath in the city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Is Jesus in charge of this? Amen? Is he in charge of this? God has prepared you. God has been preparing you. This is a missions church. God has blessed what you've done, but it's just a drop in the bucket. When you get old, as I'm getting older, as a preacher sees it, it is unbelievable. When I went to New Guinea, all I saw was one church with about 35 people in it, and it was dead as last week's roadkill laying down on the road. I've walked by it every day. Boy, does she stink. I'm just telling you, it was dead in the water. God raised that church up. I'll tell you what, God's raised 8 other churches up. God's done that. I haven't done that. But it all starts with one person following God's will. And it follows one church sending that one person to follow God's will. And it takes several churches to get into this Macedonian giving because God will prepare your heart. Amen? Now, I want you to understand, she was in a bad plight, but God will use anybody, anywhere, at any time. And your financial situation is irrelevant. For as a man, as I preached last night, purposeth in his heart, so let him what? Give. Not out of necessity. You just give because you love and it's right. Amen. Let's look at the third P tonight very quickly. I've got to hurry along. I want you to see this with me. Not only her plight or her preparation. Let's see her. Can I use the word her performance? There's a promise given here. Look at verse 15 of our text here in chapter 17, verse Kings. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Verse 14 says this. It's the promise. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, I don't have time to do this, but in Philippians chapter 4, the Bible is very clear. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Amen. The last time I read it, it said, Paul said, I could have asked for it, but I didn't. You gave to me once again. And all this blessing and all this profit, it shall be added to whose account? Your account. So folks, hey, let's don't miss the boat on this. I want you to understand she was in a bad plight, but God had prepared her heart. There was a promise that God told her there as Elijah was telling her, you can give me the water, but you feed me that cake first, and I promise you, your barrel of oil, your container of oil, and your barrel of flour, they'll say that's the kitchen. It will never run out as long as it does not rain. I will feed you. I will take care of you. I will be sufficient for you. And all God's people said, preacher, that's where I have trouble. That's where we all have trouble, isn't it? But I'm telling you what, you cannot outdo God. I use this, I've preached the message here before, and it keeps coming to my mind now. Little as much of God is in it, and there's not a bunch of oil in there, and she could just see the last meal, but she did believe the preacher's promise, amen? And that's why you have missions conferences, to start more churches like Brother here, and to start more churches like Brother here, and like Brother Schrock over here, and start more churches like we have in Uganda, start churches like we have all over the world. We can't shrink back. We need to step out and be more, I'll use the term right, be progressive. Stay after it. Amen? Look what it says here. The fourth thing is this. Now, it was her performance. Performance. Look at verse 15. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Preacher, could you come up here and be my Elijah for tonight? Where's your grandson? Bring him. Send him over here. Preacher, I want you to sit right here. You're Elijah. Now, I'm going to be the woman for a moment. Amen. Come here. Junior, you're slow as your daddy. Get your hands out of your pocket, man. You're starving to death. Take my hand. Are you nervous? You're going to be by your grandpa over here. Now, I'm going to be the widow woman. That is going to be the kitchen. This is my little starving to death son. This is the preacher. All right, this is Elijah. He's just told me to feed him before I feed my own blood. Ladies, that doesn't set well with you. Well, give me 3 words of advice. Get over it. But anyway, because that's what the preacher said do. Get over that. You feed all 3 of us, and you give me the cake first. And you know what she did, ladies and husbands? She stuttered a little bit, but she went to the kitchen. She went and did. That's what it says, right? You sit right there by that old preacher right there. So she goes over here. Now, you folks help me with some math. Can you help me with some math? This is my front door, by the way. And I go in the kitchen, and I get that oil out. And I get that meal out. And I put it on, and I roll it. How many's ever made cat head biscuits in here? Looks like some of you's ate a lot of them, but I'm just saying. And you make them biscuits, you know, and she makes that last biscuit, and she makes it, and she puts it on the grill, and she sees her son starving to death, and it's good to see you, preacher. She sees Elijah there, and she flips the things over, and he's watching, you know. He's got his glass of water he's drinking, and oh, I could have a drink right now. And she cuts that thing three ways. Preacher, you're first. Start eating that thing. It's good. Here. Eat that. It's good. Eat. Oh. Then she eats. Is that true? Am I true? Now, next day gets up. Preacher's up. Hungry? Hungry? She goes back to the kitchen. Is there, talk to me now, is there enough oil to feed him? Again. Okay? Am I right? Look close at verse 15. And her house. That's her clan. That's her family. Started showing up when they smelled the biscuits. All right. Uncle Bob, come on up. You're my Uncle Bob. Bring your family behind you. About 3 days in, we've been eating pretty good, huh, preacher? And I get a knock at the door. Knock, knock, knock. Do that again. Knock, 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 knock. And I come to the door. Oh, Bob, Uncle Bob, good to see you. What are you doing here? Well, hey, I've heard that the preacher's here. Yeah, Elijah's here. And somebody told me that, man, you've been cooking, and I hear that there's got some food, and we're just starving to death. Can we come in and eat? Well, sure you can. That'd be good. It don't look like you've been starving too much. But come on up here with me. Come on with me. All right, you come over here. Now, come on over here. Now, come over here. Now, folks, I want you to do math with me, all right? This is my uncle. I've got to let him in the house, okay? Scott, you and your wife get ready. You're going to be my dad. All right. Okay. Now, folks, you got to step over here. Get over here. Over. Now, preacher's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Like day three, I go over here and I get that thing and I cook it up and I cut it up eight ways. And I go back the next morning. Look at verse 15. If you know your Bible, am I going to feed one, two, three, or are we going to feed eight? It says our whole household. Come on, Scott, come on over. Next day, Mom and Dad show up, knock on the door. It's over here. That's it. That's the window. Okay. Dad, good to see you. Okay. No, don't touch me. I'm your daughter. Hi, Mom. What's going on? What are you here for? She said, well, hey, honey, we're here because, you know, hey, we heard Uncle Bob was here, and we've been smelling the food and the bread, and God, that we've heard that God's provided, and the preacher's here, and we don't know why he's here, but we're starving to death. There's a famine. It hasn't rained. Can we have some food? Now, this is family. Come on in. We'll give it to you. Do y'all see it? Go on the other side over there by your brother. Now, this man looks like he has been starving. So watch me. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Come on, Noah. Then there's somebody shows up at my door. And he's about a 13th cousin down the line. He knocks on the door. What's your name? Noah, and you're a cousin to Uncle Bob and my dad and Mom. I've never met you, but are they family? Come on in. Go down there by the skinny one. Now, folks, watch me. I know I'm being funny, but I want you to watch me with this. My God shall supply all. He'll do that. All right, now watch this. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Look at verse 15. I'll let this group and just go in a moment. What's it say? And he and her house, didn't say her son, did eat many days. Now, watch this. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Folks, you can go get your seats. As they go get their seats, let's focus on this thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. They gave not as we hoped, but they gave what God put in their heart to do, for this was the will of the Lord. Wow. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Now, what are you going to do? The preacher tonight already said he wants to do more. Well, that's him. That's not you. That's him. I've been in situations and things and ministries, and I just want to tell you, God is at work in this church. Now, I want you to understand, he's already at tomorrow. And the last P is this: he will profit. Anything he touches, he profits it. You know the story. She fed him, and it came the day, and he left, went out to Mount Carmel, went up there and did his deed for God, and towards the evening, the fire came out of heaven. Amen? God won the day. Then there's a little cloud of a man's hand. Then we hear the sound of abundance of rain. Do we not? Man, God is at work. I go back down to that village. I go back down to that lady looking up over that mountaintop several miles away. I'm telling you what, God prepared her heart. And she walked away from that story with a peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, folks, that is an example of Macedonia giving. What are you going to do when God speaks to your heart? When Dr. Sis gets up to preach Sunday, what are you going to do when the Holy Spirit says, hey, I appreciate what you're giving? But what are you going to do when that Holy Spirit puts another purpose to have you trust him? Oh, she stuttered at that water. Water was nothing. And water was precious in those days. But she stuttered at that last meal. But you know what? She trusted Elijah. Now watch this. And the word of God. If you'll do that tonight. I started giving better and better when I was probably 25, 30 years ago. And I was not good at it in the beginning of my ministry. But I learned what giving was. And I learned to trust God. I'm still learning today. I'm not there. I want to do more for him. What will you do when you hear an example of Macedonian giving? How will that drive you? Oh, hey, you may be in a bad plight, but God is preparing your heart. And he has given us the promises. And he wants you and I to perform. He wants us to react to it. And then he will show you in his time and his will and his way the profit of all this. It may not be fire out of heaven. It may be another church in Cuba, another church in Thailand or Cambodia, another church in Malay, another church in Papua New Guinea. And just think, preacher, this church is part of that 2.17 million Bibles. Years ago with decisions we made in the ministry here, and you've built buildings for us in New Guinea, property that he stood on where the containers are going to sit. You'll never go there. It is real, is it not? But it started from giving years ago. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. I want the Holy Spirit to work on your hearts tonight, and I'll give the invitation to the preacher in just a moment here. You know what? This is a precious thing, the giving of these people in 2 Corinthians. They've given us a pattern to go by. The purpose was missions, and the power of their example was they first gave themselves to the Lord. And this is the will of God. Tonight, if you'll understand this, my God shall supply all your need, Paul tells us. But folks, you have to surrender to this. God does not care how rich or poor you are. God wants your heart prepared. Now, if you'll prepare that widow woman, that heathen woman, to take care of his preacher, telling me he can use anybody, anywhere, at any time. Now, if we'll just do like she did, she believed that promise, and she performed. And that, you know, at the end of the day, as always, God wins the day. She profited from it. Her house profited from it. God's preacher, missionary, prophet profited from it. And God blessed in a wonderful way. Preacher.
Maybe tonight the Lord's speaking to your heart. And I know there are people's souls hanging in the balance. Maybe it is your giving. You have a number, the Lord wants to increase it. Maybe it is your prayer time. I don't know, we think much about that, but maybe the Lord wants you to take an extra 15 minutes a day and 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, and get on your knees and take the prayer list of missionaries and lift them up to the Lord. That would be a sacrifice. But they will profit. We would not see it and connect the dots, but God does. Maybe you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit just touches your heart. You need to go on a missions trip. You need to, maybe you ought to go yourself. We've got a lot of people out of our church who have already gone to the mission field. Maybe you're the next one. But folks, tonight, all of us in this building ought to be willing to hold up our hands and say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'd never seen it before, read it I don't know how many times. There were a lot of widows in that day, in that place. But only one did God know would respond. I want our church to respond. I want me to respond. We're going to stand to our feet. I don't know what the Lord is speaking to your heart about. Maybe it's about you witnessing to your neighbor or the coworker at work. You haven't done that yet. Maybe it's about you coming on a visitation with us. Maybe it's about you inviting that person down the street to come to church with you. I don't know what the Lord wants you to do, but it'd be a great sacrifice. I'm shy, Pastor. I don't speak much, but we've got the greatest Savior in all the world, and He'll help us. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to do your will. In your name we pray. Amen.